Hello?
There we go.
Aha, right. My Senipa Mukwai, which is welcome in Chibemba. So you're very, very welcome. And I hope that today you are just really encouraged as well by what God is doing in Zambia. So as well as informing you, I just also want to give God all the glory for what's been happening over the past sort of 10 years. So we're going to start just with a couple of worship songs just to give God all the praise. That's why we're gathered here ultimately. So shall we stand to sing our first song, Tell Out My Soul? Please be seated. Right, so I just want to start with a few sort of introductions to what the project is and a little bit about myself, because I know not everybody knows me very well, and some people also haven't followed the project or known about it for many years. So the vision for Arise Kapumpe Orphan Project, which is the project I work with, is to see a united community where everyone rises to their God-given potential. So we're not just focused on the orphans in our project or their carers, that's who we call the guardians, but even our staff, the teachers, everybody we work with, we want to see them all rise to what God has got for them. So it's called Arise Kapumpe Orphan Project because there's basically two elements to it. Arise is the umbrella, if you like. This is where we look after our orphans and their guardians. We provide, help them with food, providing clothes. We do visits to their homes. We disciple them. So the mission there is to empower the orphans, vulnerable children, and their guardians through education and discipleship. So we're not wanting to just give people things. We're wanting to really help them be empowered, help them to be equipped to do things for themselves. We're really about coming alongside and supporting. So as part of the Arise project, we've started a primary school, which is called Kapumpe. So that's why the project is Arise Kapumpe Orphan Project. It's the Arise project with the school. That's a big part of who we are. So our mission as the school is to equip pupils and staff with excellent education and discipleship. We don't just focus on the children, but also the staff as well, teaching and discipling them. So you can see those two words underlined, education and discipleship. That's really what the Arise Kapumpe Orphan Project is all about, providing education and that spiritual discipleship with everyone that we come into contact with. So a little bit about myself. My name's Naomi, and I started visiting Zambia back in 2005 on a gap year. And I really felt then God called me out there. So I returned to the UK to train as a teacher and moved to Zambia in 2015 as a teacher. And knowing a little bit about the project and the project's journey, and having visited a few times, I started to get involved with the work of the guardians, visiting them, helping with the kids' club. And as the years have gone by, I've moved from just being a teacher to overseeing the whole project. So I know all the elements of the project well. Please feel free to ask questions later. We will have a time at the end when I say, if you've got any questions, because it might be that I've said something and it hasn't quite made sense to you, or you really wanted to find out a specific thing and I haven't mentioned it. So feel free to ask me any questions at the end. So what I'm just going to whiz through is a timeline of the last 10 years, just so you've got a picture of where we've come from, how awesome and amazing God is, and then you'll be able to hopefully follow us in the next 10, 20, 30 years to continue to see God's goodness. So in 2012, we really felt that the existing project, which was really part of the Bible College, just the other side of that wall there, needed to be developed, changed. God was really stirring the hearts of the people that were there, Tim and Gemma Mills, to start a school where the children could get really good education. So we bought this field just next to the Bible College to build the school on. So that's where it started in 2012, only with a vision. And God provided all the money, all the direction, and we started to build. So 2013, we've got our borehole being drilled there, so we've got our own source of water. I went out and visited, and we were just building one block. So the school has sort of been built, the physical buildings, as the school has grown. As we've added a class, so we've also added another building. So it just started as that one block there. Looks very different to the pictures of the school today. If any of you have seen them on our newsletters and things, that's how it looked back in 2013. And then moving on to 2014, this is now when the school was ready to be open. So we sort of had a year of fundraising, and then we were building. 2014, we opened the school with one class, one grade one class. We had a couple of teachers from the UK and one Zambian teacher, and didn't really feel like a school. We've all been at school at one point, and there's more than one class in a school. So it was quite strange starting off. We've actually got one of the first teachers here with us today. Ellie Cross is right at the back there with a beautiful dress. If you've got questions and I'm busy later when we've got cakes and drinks, feel free to go and ask Ellie, because she's also been there right from the beginning as well. So, yeah, God was just really in it. Every time there was a need or a decision we weren't sure of, we would pray and God would make it clear what the answer was. So 2015, we then had grade two. So we added one more class. I went out towards the end of 2015. So that's what the school looked like in the Nsukka there, just two classes. But we knew that God was working. The children were loving school. They were wanting to learn about God. It was just a really exciting time to be part of the project. We didn't have much school and much play area, but we did start the farming in 2015. That bit, you can just see someone is at the end of the field there. And we started to plant crops and just be saying, Lord, how do you want this project to move forward? What do you want us to be doing this year? And year on year, the project has just grown ever so slowly. 2016 was an amazing year of growth and development because we were very brave and we decided to add two classes at once. So we added a preschool class right at the bottom and we added a grade three class higher up. So we then had four classes, and you can see from that top picture, it looks a bit more like a school now. So we're starting to get routines and things a bit more established. We also had Agnes join us, who is the lady in the black and white cardigan there. She was one of our Rise staff members, because as we were wanting to do more to support these families, we realised we needed more staff to help us do this. Agnes is actually one of our guardians. She is an amazing guardian. She loves the children so much. She's been teaching Sunday school, and she was also asking, Lord, you know, what work can I do? And then we came along and said, would you like to work for us? And oh, it's just been amazing, her journey with us. So 2016 saw sort of a lot of real growth and development. We had the beginning of our Christmas bucket appeal. I know some of you might have seen that every Christmas we say we're doing a bucket appeal, and we try to bless each guardian with a bucket of essential items like candles and matches and soap and oil and tea and beans, just so that they feel loved and special and they've got some provisions to start the new year off well. So 2016 was the first year we tried to do that, and it was amazing how God provided the funds. And actually every year since starting, God has provided the funds. I mean, it's just incredible how God has provided everything we've needed, from the ideas to the finances to the resources, every step of the way through this project. 2016 was also the year that Tim and Gemma Mills left. They were the ones who had the vision for starting the school. So there was a lot of change in roles for people at the school. I wasn't so sure about stepping up, but great that Ellie was there. So Ellie took a lot of the reins on, and we were really sort of saying, okay, God, we're not sure, you know, how to do this. We weren't here on day one, but you were. So it was kind of just putting our foot out into the unknown. And when you know you're with God, you kind of have the courage to take that step of faith. So if any of you are on a sort of a crossroads, I'm not sure where to go with this decision, know that with God, he gives you the courage to take that step into something that is unknown. So just keep trusting and listening to his voice. So 2017, we added another grade to the school, so that was expanding. We also started our regular football club. So Agnes's twin boys love football, and they play with a local club, and they offered themselves to be football coaches, which was amazing because, again, since 2017, we've had football club every Friday since. So it's just amazing how when God gives a vision, he provides everything necessary for it. And it's not only the Arise boys that have been coming to the club, but they've been telling their mates, hey, come and join us at football. So there's now sort of somewhere between 30 and 60 boys every Friday coming to play football and not really realizing they're also learning a bit about Jesus and a bit about how to be, you know, a responsible child at school and at home and how to respect their parents, because Prosper and Progress are sort of drip feeding the discipleship into the football as well. So that's a great ministry that we've been able to continue. We also, you can see at the top there, had some guardians really interested in starting business, starting to make some sort of money for themselves to provide for their families. And this is really what Arise is all about, empowering them. So we said, great, you want to do this. We want to help you. We'll find some people who can train you, you know, in Bemba, in the local language, who have already got Zambian business skills, know sort of the local community. And so we started off some different chicken project businesses and things. They didn't all go really well, but we've learned from them and the guardians have learned from them. So year on year, we're trying to improve how we help the guardians do business so that they are empowered with money themselves to decide, I want to spend it on soap or I want to buy my child some school shoes. We also in 2017 started to try to support other schools and other teachers, sort of looking more outward rather than just focused on ourselves. The school had been going for a couple of years and we really felt we don't want to just, you know, keep God's blessing to ourselves. We want to be able to share it with others. And teachers were saying to us, your school is so good and the teachers are so good, you know, why can't we, you know, learn some of this and know some of this? So we did some staff meetings at other schools and tried to get our teachers to interact and support teachers at other local schools who weren't really having the same training. So every Monday when we have our staff meeting at school, we're also training the teachers how to teach. And we've got the wonderful Ruth here visiting us today in the blue, who spent, was it about 6 weeks? 6 weeks hard work focused on phonics teaching with our teachers, and our phonics now is brilliant. So we really do invest in our teachers, and it's wonderful that a bigger part of the Kapumpe vision is to share our knowledge. You know, telling our teachers, tell your friends, tell other teachers, opening up our school for training days wider than just our school staff. And we know the reality is that at some point these teachers leave our school. For whatever reason, they move away or they get married. And it's wonderful to know that when they go on, they are a much better teacher than when they came to us. It's hard in a way because we think, oh no, we've invested so much, they're so good, and now we're going to have another teacher who isn't so good. But how you see the teachers grow, and they leave us with such an amazing teacher ready to go on. And we've heard from teachers that have left us how they've been able to implement things they learned at Kapumpe in other schools all around Zambia. So that's like, praise the Lord. It's not only that God is blessing this little school here, he's actually able to bless so many others through the work at Kapumpe, which is really, really exciting. So 2018, we had our gate built for the school so we can be secure and have our own field. We also began building our third block, which was the final block we needed for our classrooms to be a complete primary school. It was great because the children were sort of there and in school and beginning to get involved. You know, if we need three classrooms, how many meters is it going to need to be? And it's sort of like, oh, we need it to be 5 meters. And we think, okay, back to the math classroom. You know, it's going to need to be more than 5 meters. And so it was really a great learning opportunity for them, sort of watching the building going up and seeing how it was all taking shape. And we also started regular Saturday studies for our older children. So in the Arise project, we don't say when you finish Kapumpe Primary School, bye-bye, that's it, we don't help you anymore. We say we want to help you complete school, which is basically like to the end of GCSE. So because we're only a primary school, we have to send them to the local secondary school behind us. It's about a 30-minute walk, so it's not too far in Zambian terms. and we didn't have much contact with them. It was a bit difficult to know, are they in school? How are they doing? So in 2018, we started regular Saturday meetings with our older secondary pupils. And since then, we've been able to continue them. And the strength in relationship between Arise and the older pupils has just blossomed so much. You know, they don't just come to us and bring us a report paper now. They'll come and tell us their struggles, their joys. They'll ask us to pray. They'll say, oh, I really need to study this. Have you got this book? And we'll try and find how we can help them and support them in their studies. So that was a really exciting development in 2018. So 2019, the final school block was built, and it was a huge blessing because we weren't just having the classrooms, we were actually able to build a library room and a staff room. So we as staff had a place we could actually do training, meeting together, discipleship together, store all the resources so we knew where they were and get more organised. So the staff were really pleased and grateful with that development, not only enough classrooms, but that library and staff space as well. And God has really blessed us with amazing resources from many different countries to be able to run as we are. We started to do lots more trips as well. We've had other people who have generously said we'd like to help with, you know, paying for the coaches for a school trip. So we began to take every grade then on a trip in the year, which was kind of the highlight. Many of them, especially the younger grades, 1 and 2, had never been outside of Kaniki. And that still is the same today. When we take the grade ones on the trip to town, when they're learning about my life and my town, you know, they're looking out the bus because they've never been outside of Kaniki, you know, in relative terms, that would be like never being outside of Wallington, Carshalton, this little area here. Can you imagine being 7 years old and never knowing the world outside of that little area? That's the reality for some of these, because there isn't the money to pay for the bus, and they definitely wouldn't be able to afford a taxi or anything like that. So they stay in their community. They don't have need to travel elsewhere. So to be able to open these children's eyes to the rest of the world beyond Kaniki is just so exciting and so important, not just for their education, but for their life development as well. You can see at the top there, we also started in 2019 map making on a more serious scale. So we realized that some of our guardians knew how to make these doormats. So these are sacks that they will store their maize corn in. And then these are offcuts of material wherever they can find them from. So we thought, hang on, this is really easy to make. Why don't you, guardian who knows how to do it, teach someone who doesn't know how to do it? So already they're sort of realizing, oh, I might not be able to read or write, and I might be about 60 years old, but I can teach someone how to make a mat. And that's really wonderful when you see that happening. And then all of a sudden, they've got 2 or 3 mats, and we're saying, now you can sell this because your neighbor wants a new mat, and now you've got money for whatever you need to buy. And for us, maybe that sounds very basic in terms of the thinking, but for them, they haven't had the education and experience to follow that thought process. So since 2019, we've been helping, Arise has been helping with finding material and finding sacks and basically saying, go make a mat. Teach your friend, teach your children how to make mats. This is a really simple business you can do anytime at home. So there's lots here at the front. If you wanted to make a donation and take one away with you today, you are very welcome. They're excellent for stopping drafts coming through your door and also for stopping snakes getting through as well. If any of you have any snakes coming through your front door, I highly recommend one of those. So here's a little clip of the school now. This is so morning time, the children will come, they will eat porridge, and then they'll have this devotion time together and they'll sing some worship before heading to class. So I thought this might just give you a bit of a flavour of morning.
Jesus, there's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Jesus.
So you just saw a motorbike in the background there. We very often have children coming on those motorbikes from the border. If they were walking, it would probably take them about 40 minutes to walk. But when you're sort of 5 years old, 40 minutes is a long way. So you'll see sometimes four of them all squeezed on the motorbike coming down from town. So while the children start every morning with praising the Lord and sharing something from the Bible, the teachers are in the staff room doing exactly the same. What a privilege it is to live in a country where we can so freely praise the Lord and just make everything that we're doing all about Jesus Christ. It's so great to have that freedom. So then after they've had devotion, this is how morning starts off. We've got about 179 in the school at the moment. So they all make their way to their classroom area, line up outside.
You're there for me.
Good morning.
My children are very busy.
They are now posing for a photo. If they see the camera out, it's like, snap me, you know. So I had to then stop the video and take a picture. But you can hear a bit of the buzz and the screams and the excitement. The children just love coming to school. And it's not only because they will get some food, although that is part of it, but they do love learning and finding out. And they do love being away from a home where there is a chore and a job to do. Here at school, they can be children. They can play, they can have fun, they've got freedom. So it's just such a wonderful environment to be in. And we also know that's because people are praying. This is where Jesus Christ is at the center. God's presence is there. And every morning, the children just love coming. The teachers love being there. And we know this is a good start for them in life. That's really why Kapumpe is as it is, giving them a good start in life. So 2020, we had our first graduating class. So this is like the end of primary school, like year six. And they all passed the government exam, which we were really delighted about. And one of our girls got the highest mark in the whole of the Kaniki community. So we were really proud of her and just saying, thank you, Lord. You know, you've been faithful to us, providing the teachers, the resources, the guidance. And if we're able to, you know, help the children get grades like this, then that just gives you all the glory. So that was wonderful. You might remember this was the time COVID was around. I know it was quite severe in this country. We didn't have it quite so bad in Zambia. It didn't affect the population health-wise in the same way, but they did include a lot of the restrictions that other countries had. So there was a time when our schools couldn't open, we weren't allowed to, you know, mix. But we said, well, if we're staying outside of people's houses and we're wearing masks, we think we can still go to visit some of these people and hand over food parcels and things like that, because we knew that some of them weren't going out at all and they would have really struggled. So, yeah, God just made it possible for us to meet those that needed the help and a way that we weren't breaking any laws. And we could also even help inform our families about what COVID was and how they could keep themselves safe. We also had to build a new ablution block because our school had grown so much. The five toilets wasn't enough for all the pupils and staff. And we also were doing a lot more as a RISE, you know, more teaching with the guardians, Saturday studies with the youth. So we thought we desperately need a new toilet block. So we built that, including a couple of showers, which was fantastic. And also in 2020, you can see just in that bottom corner there, Catherine, one of our wonderful guardians, with a bag of seed. We started a seed and fertilizer appeal, trying to help our most needy guardians to get their seed and fertilizer for their field. So nearly every guardian family in Zambia will have a field, either of their own or one they rent, to grow their food. And essentially, it's to feed their family. But if there is a bit left over, they then sell it, so they've got a bit of money. Now, seed prices, fertilizer prices were just going up so much it was impossible for a lot of families to get any seed and fertilizer. So we thought we can't help everyone. You know, we've got about 80 guardians, 80 families. There's no way we can meet everyone's need. But if we raise some funds, we could maybe help the most needy. So we did that. We started in 2020. And again, God has just blessed us so much. We've been able to keep doing that year on year. And actually, we've been able to help more families year on year on year, which is just incredible. So let's just stand and sing, Blessed Be Your Name, because God has just been so wonderful and he deserves all the praise. So 2021. We are now a fully fledged school. We've had our first lot of grade sevens going through. So 2021 was kind of a major time of celebration and yet more challenge, because there was more development, more growth that God was revealing needed to happen. So you can see on the top right there, another building was going up. And at this point, I'm sort of saying, Lord, I am not a builder. Maybe you've got the wrong person. But praise the Lord, he's provided various people along the way to help support me and advise me. And we were able to get our Arise building up, which was just incredible, because when we had the vision for it the year before, there wasn't any money. So it was sort of like, Lord, you know, you need to do everything here. You need to give us the skills and the materials and the money. And God never fails, does he? When he starts something, he sees it through to completion every time. So we were building the Arise block in 2021. We also needed to get a new car for Arise, because this one sort of sounded like it was going to fall apart every time we took it out. But we would pray and it would never fall apart. But we thought, we can't keep living like this forever. So again, God just was amazing in providing not only the funds, but the right connections to be able to buy a car in Zambia, which is not a very easy thing to do. We were still sort of going through COVID restrictions, but we live in a wonderful country where it only rains for about 4 months of the year. I know it sounds bizarre when we live here in England and it rains almost every day, but in Zambia we have rain sort of November to kind of end of March, April, and then chopwa, that's it, no more rain. You know, you're home dry all the way through to November. So we were able to just have assemblies outside, sitting on the grass. And it was like, nothing is going to stop us, you know, educating and discipling these children. We will find another way. And as the teachers were kind of learning what we were teaching in the staff meetings and beginning to put it into practice, more resources and costumes were being used. And there just seemed to be a real sense of growth happening amongst the school. So we're sort of feeling like we're getting there. You know, we've made some good foundations and we're now building on them. So the bottom right picture is actually some of our grade eights. So these children graduated from Kapumbe the previous year, and they were saying, Miss Voice, you have studies for the secondary, the grade 10, 11, 12, almost like GCSE. What about us? It's like that we've left Kapumbe and now there's nothing for us. So we said, okay, what if we do studies for grade 8 and 9, the younger secondary, as well as the older ones? And they were like, yes, please, great. So we found some more time somewhere and we started up another program. So we've got now one for our younger secondary where they come to study and have discipleship as well. And also we're continuing the ones for the higher secondary. So 2022, this was kind of the end of the first 10-year journey. You can see from that timeline along the bottom. It all started in 2012. So 2022 was like, wow, this project, you know, God, you've started it and kept it going now for 10 years, a whole decade. And we were just amazed at how much God has done. You know, year on year, there was growth, there was development, there was expansion. And 2022 sort of felt like quite a celebratory year, but it also had many challenges with it. And I'm sure you can relate to that with seasons in your life where there's real highs and time of celebration. And then you're thinking, but Lord, why have you sent this struggle and this challenge? You know, we thought everything was going so well. So we had opened up our Arise building, which has our storeroom. So when people are knitting hats and blankets, we're very grateful to those of you who are doing that, or sending out shoes. We've got our storeroom, we've got a couple of offices, and then we've got our big teaching room. So whether that's the guardians or whether that's the children, we've got a big room for that. And then our outside hall space, which you can see on the bottom left, we actually use the new hall space for school assemblies, because school has now got too big for that little sucker that was the outside shelter that was in our playground. So we now have school assemblies, and if it's too sunny or rainy, they also do PE lessons there. Or if music is a bit noisy, they come and do that there. So we've really been blessed to have that outside space. And it's just really seems to have brought everything alive. We were able to start up our club for the children at Kapumbe, where we teach them about God, like a discipleship Sunday school. We were doing that every week. Because we had sort of outgrown the space at school, we struggled to run this club. Every classroom now had a teacher and class in it, and it wasn't possible to sort of clear them all out and have club there. And also with COVID restrictions, it wasn't possible. So once the Arise building was there, we were able to start up our club again. So it's kind of like an hour-long Sunday school that we do each week, which the children love. And then you might have remembered, if you were following in our newsletters, the government had a wonderful idea of recruiting a lot more teachers. Somehow they found the money to get many more teachers in 2022. And the way it works in Zambia is if the government says, right, we're now going to give you a job, you just say, okay, yes, please. And you go wherever they send you, because also it's guaranteed income. So of our 8 teachers, we lost 6. And our head teacher also said it was time for him to move on. So I was like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, all this development, progress, everything's going great. And now you're taking all the staff away. What's going on? But it sort of felt like God was saying, look, we've started everything now. Everything's in place, the buildings, the programs, all the curriculum, everything is now started for you to sort of like run, for you to get deeper, for you to get even better. All the initial things have now been done. And so maybe starting off with quite a new staff and everything already set up and have their new ideas is actually quite a good place to be looking ahead to the next 10 years. So down there, you've got our new staff team. In fact, the only one who has been with us since the beginning is the lady with the crutch there, Miss Kangoma. All the rest are completely new, but they have really worked hard to pick up how we do things at Kapumpe. So here's a little video clip. You've seen the children. These are our guardians using that outside space where we have assemblies. Here they're having a big meeting. So like we start at school with praise and worship, they do as well. Whenever we have a big meeting, we start with praise and worship. So here's our... That song was just basically saying that God has been good all my life and I'll praise him all the day, in the morning, noontime, in the afternoon, at nighttime. So what we are also, you know, saying to our guardians is you are the role models for your children. You are the parents. Because very often they'll say to us, you Arise, you Kapumpe, you are the parent. And we're saying to them, no. You are their parent. We want to support you and help you so you can teach them, care for them, help them to grow well. So, you know, part of what we do is explain to the guardians, this is what you need to do with your children and help you to parent your children. I think we sometimes are taught that by our parents in this country, but not always in Zambia are they teaching how to be a parent. Right from a very young age, the children will be expected just to do housework and do chores, but actually to educate and teach and explain isn't really done. So it's a real privilege when we have these meetings to worship together, to say to the guardians, you know, make sure you're doing this at home with your children. Help them to do this as well. And then we'll give information, we'll let them ask questions, and of course share something from God's word as well. So, summary of the last 10 years, God has really guided us in all our decision making, whether it's over staff, pupils, buildings. I definitely don't have the knowledge to do what I'm doing out in Zambia, but every time we've just said, Lord, what's the right way? He has really made it clear to us what we need to do. He's also provided what we've needed, whether that's been finance, cars, resources, people, anything, God hasn't let us down. And I know that he is the same God here in the UK with you, and he is going to be able to guide you and provide for you in whatever way, just like he's done for us. And everything that he has started, he's been faithful in bringing it to completion. He's never left anything halfway and said, oh, you know, you made a mistake there, now you're on your own, or, oh, I've changed my mind now, we're not going down that route. Every time God's led us into something, he's walked with us, and we've been able to complete it, to see it through. So it has been an amazing journey, and now we're really looking forward to the next 10 years. So basically, you know, God has really given us a vision to say, let's now get better at what we're doing. As a Rise Kapumbe Orphan Project, trying to equip and empower these pupils, these guardians, these teachers, now that everything's in place, how do we get better? How do we go deeper? How do we become stronger? So that's what we're trying to do. So in terms of Arise, that means supporting the pupils more, right from primary all the way to secondary, whether that's at home, whether that's at school, with studies, with clothes. We need to learn how we can support them better. Hopefully we'll get better at having a dialogue with our pupils over that. Also educating the guardians. We know that many of them can't read or write, so we want to try and help them with their literacy, as well as business ideas, and applying the Bible to life situations. Lots of them hear the Bible, whether that's through a Sunday sermon or through a message they've heard on the radio, but they don't actually know how to apply that verse or that Bible sort of teaching to their life. So we want to try and get better at doing that. So what does that look like in practice? Well, we've started a few things already. So we've actually taken our pupils on a trip to a number of colleges, because some of them were sort of getting a bit deflated. You know, what's the point? Why am I at school? Why do I have to do education? And we realized that they didn't know anything about college, university, life beyond school and Kaniki. So we took them to about four different colleges, and their eyes were just open so wide, like, wow, I want to come to college. You know, one girl said to me, Miss Boyce, I can't wait to do my exam. You know, I think she thought if she did the exam, she would automatically get into the college. So we had to have a bit of a discussion, but it was so great to see their enthusiasm for now doing school, because they can see what's the other side of it. You know, school isn't the same as college. At the colleges, at the universities, there's resources. There's enough chairs for everybody. You know, there's practical things for them to use in science or when they're learning about first aid or anything. So they saw all this and they were just so excited by it. So we're not going to be able to help all our children get to college. But what we would love to do over the next 10 years is start up a scholarship fund where those children who have got top grades when they finish school, we can actually say to them, you know, we are able to help you get through college. You know, you've worked so hard. And that hopefully will also be motivation for them doing secondary school. You know, if you work hard and you are one of the top achievers, we're going to be able to help you to reach this point. You can see the next picture down at the bottom, sort of 5 o'clock-ish, if it was a clock. It's a little drawing of a computer room. We are really hoping that this year we'll be able to get some computers as part of the project, because the children actually have to sit an exam in computing. And for many of them, the first time they sit at a computer is in the exam. Now, it seems very strange to me, I'm sure it does to you, but that's very normal out there, because there aren't computers around. They look at books and they look at pictures, and because that's the norm, they then go into the exam and they have to try and figure it out. And there doesn't really seem to be many questions over it. But we know that they would do much better in those exams if they have actually sat at computers, learnt about them, And the way the world is moving so fast with this digital environment that I feel a million miles from at the moment, if they've got some basic computer skills, these young people are going to be able to progress much more quickly than many of their peers. So computers will really be a support to the young people. We had some questions from the guardians, you know, why aren't we going on trips? You know, our children keep getting trips, but we don't get trips. So we thought, right, if it's something they want, if it might be motivation, we said, right, if you're coming and attending our discipleship groups and our meetings, we will take you on a trip to learn about some business skills with other guardians who have started their own businesses, similar to what we're trying to help you to do. So all of a sudden, we started to get lots of our guardians coming to our meetings and coming to the discipleship program. So we've now learned a trick. You know, if we want them to come and attend, tell them, if you're attending lots, there'll be another trip for you. So it's been great to have a lot of the guardians come, and they're so excited to learn and just see more of the world now that they're exposed to it. And also they've got people that are supporting them and explaining it. They're not just being told, there it is, or find out for yourself, but we're there to sort of shepherd them and encourage them. So hopefully we'll have more trips, but also hopefully soon some of these guardians will start up their own businesses themselves. We've started up also some tutoring for our grade nines who are in another exam year. Grade nine, they have to sit one lot of exams. If they pass those, they can then continue to upper secondary. So we realised actually it's quite important that we make sure if they're falling behind that we give them some extra help and support so that they pass grade nine, otherwise they can't even get to the upper secondary. So we've started some extra tutoring for them, and we've started more regularly our discipleship with our secondary school pupils. And then at the top there as well, you can see our ladies beginning to learn phonics. I was a little nervous about asking them, do they want to learn to read or write? Because, you know, some of these guardians are about 80 years old, and I didn't want to offend anybody, but I really felt, you know, we should say we want to help them learn to read and write. And when we suggested it in a meeting, loads of them stood up one at a time. We're so grateful, Ms. Voice, you're doing this. We've always wanted to finish school. We've never been able to. We really want to come. And so that just confirmed it was the right thing to do. So that session there at the top was the day before I flew. I left them the instructions for the next 7 weeks. And I said, when I return, I want to see some of you writing your own name, because some of them hadn't hardly ever held a pen. They didn't want to even put an X to mark their initial, you know, when they received some money from us. So, you know, this is a basic way we can empower them. And hopefully, as they love learning and realise how good it feels, they will also encourage the children to be more serious with their homework, more committed to school, and they'll be able to encourage them with how exciting education is. So this is what we want to sort of build on and continue over the next 10 years with Arise. With Kabumpe, we want to try and develop our lessons so that they become yet more engaging and also challenging. For those children that are really bright, we don't just want them to be forgotten, but we want to make sure that they are actually excelling as well. Training and supporting our teachers. So we're doing that on a weekly basis in our staff meetings, but we want to try and do more one-to-one, really give them excellent support so that everything they are learning, they're actually applying. They're not just hearing it and saying, oh, that's great, and then reverting to how they used to teach. But we actually want to see it making a difference in the classrooms. And then using and stewarding the resources. We've actually been blessed with so many different things, puzzles and games and cards. And a lot of the things are left on the shelf very often. And I will have to say to the teachers, you know, why have you not used this lesson? You know, it would have been really great. It would have been something fun. Or I will see a resource that has been used and it's been left and left and left, and then nobody else has been able to find it. So As a school, we need to try and get better at using and stewarding these resources so they're used to their optimum to really help the children. So that's a big part of what we want to do in these next 10 years. So how have we started some of this already? We've started to raise money for a security wall, which we're still trying to raise money for, because having all of these buildings and wanting to get these computers, we know that this security fence isn't enough. You might have picked up that very often we have power cuts, so an electric fence is not very effective when there's a power cut. But also everyone in the local community can see what's in the school and what's there, and that is just very tempting then for the local community as well. If they're really in need and they know the school and Arise have got things that they could sell and get money for, so we do need to build a wall there. So in the next 10 years, hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get that done. You can see at the bottom, we've got some children outside learning and using resources. So it's a case of when we see this, encouraging the children and the staff, yes, you're doing it well, let's see more of it. So that school also remains fun for the children. We don't want them to get bored by the time they get to grade 7. Oh, it's the same as what I was doing 5 years ago. We want it to always be fresh for them. We've also had a really big focus on reading and writing at the beginning of this year, because that's essential for education. You know, for any subject, you've got to be able to read and write. So rather than focusing on some of the smaller details of the curriculum, we've been doing reading buddies and we've been doing writing assessments to really try and make sure the children know how important it is, as well as the teachers. You can see that top left picture. It's the teachers having a staff meeting, a practical one. They were making games to try and help the children read words and practice reading together and speaking out loud. So, yeah, we tried to make the staff meetings interactive so that they also will then go and make the lessons interactive. And I think you might have picked up from newsletters or the website updates about our sports field. You might remember a couple of years ago, my dad and brother-in-law were doing a tube challenge to raise money, because that field was completely ruined by all the trucks bringing sand and blocks and all sorts for all the building. So it was just like uneven mud. Wasn't possible to go and play anything on there. And we love in Zambia football. It's what some of the boys almost seem to live for. So we knew we needed a good sports pitch. So we've actually now managed to have some people in to level it for us. And we bought the seed, and the guardians and the children planted the grass seed. And over the last couple of weeks, they've also been weeding as well. So hopefully when I go back, it's going to look a lot more green. And we'll be nearly ready to set that up as our sports pitch. So although that's there, we want to also build a sports cage just behind it in the next 10 years, because when it's raining, that sports field won't really be very usable. It will just become mud again. And also we want to teach the children sports they don't know. Yes, football can be fun, but so can many other things like tennis and basketball and netball and hockey. So we want to build a caged area where there's an all-weather surface. So any time of the year, we can go out there, we can play. Also, when our older pupils come for studies, it's not just a case of come and study, come and have discipleship, but let's also do some PE activity. Because at the local secondary school, they don't do PE. Which breaks my heart. So I said, if we had a sports cage area, would you like to do sport? Yes, Miss Foy, can we have it now? And I'm like, well, when we've got the money, yes, will we have it next year? I said, maybe we'll have it next year. So it's great to know that they're enthusiastic to see that happen as well. So hopefully you can see there's a lot of vision for the future. It's not a case of now we've had the first 10 years, well, that's it. Job done, why are we still there? There's still a lot that we want to get better at doing and ways that we want to grow. What are a few of the challenges? The roads, now that we've got so many heavy vehicles coming through, they've opened up the border just 5 miles up the road from us. So we're getting big tankers coming along the road, which isn't only messing up the road, it's making it very, very dangerous for the children. Also, when the rains come, they make the road more like that bottom left. You might think that was a picture of a river. That's actually the road behind the school, the road in rainy season. So the rain does make it very difficult to move about, and the roads make it difficult. So please pray for protection as we're going out doing visits, as the children are having to move up and down. Also, you can see there the middle pictures are indicating power cut. when there's no power, it's difficult to do anything really, because you don't have the lights, you don't have the fridges, you don't have the computers. So life is possible, but it is just more difficult. So we would really appreciate prayer for grace as we manage through the power cuts, that they are not so long. Sometimes they're 24, 48 hours, which are a bit too long, really. We prefer it when it's more like half an hour. and also, you can see at the top there, we've raised money for a solar light, which is brilliant. The light there is fantastic, that one angled down. So it charges in the day, and then at night, when it's dark, it comes on. And I've played with it a few times. As you get closer, it then gets even brighter. And then you walk away and it dims down. It's a bit of a battery saving thing. And then you get closer and it comes on again. So it's quite good fun. But my exciting life, playing with solar lights. That's only one, but we would like to make a we'd like to make a string of them. So it's not only that's the only part that's lit up, partly for security as well. At night, if that is all dark, it's an opportunity for anybody to come and try and break in or do anything. So security lights, as well as light to help us see. And then the other challenge we've got is the general lack of experience and education of our guardians and of our teachers. They've grown up in a country very different to ours, a developing country where what we think is common knowledge or common sense doesn't exist. So when you're trying to teach new farming methods or new teaching methods, they don't really understand how to do it, or they're a bit resistant to apply it, or they need you right over their shoulder doing it with them every step of the way. So please pray for patience for those of us in leadership that are having to maybe do the same thing again and again and again, and pray for our teachers and guardians that they would just more readily absorb these new ideas and ways of doing things. And they're not ways that are sort of British and we want to impose them on you. The root of everything we're doing is, this is God's kingdom. This is what he says in his word about discipline, about how to be organized, about how to be methodical, about how to be creative, about how to be caring. All the things that we're trying to teach them, we base them on scripture, on biblical principles. So it's not that we're just wanting to mold them into the Arise Kapumbe way. We're wanting them to shape them to be more like Christ. So please pray for us as we manage through the challenges. How can you get involved? You can definitely be praying. Finances, some people give one-off, some people give regularly. However anybody wants to give, it's always gratefully received. You might be able to tell others about the project. It's very simple, but we are a very small project. I'm the only one from the UK involved in the project living in Zambia. So if there was more of us out there, we might have more people to share the work with. So we as a project, as a charity, rely on you, the people that know of us, to tell others about us and what we're doing. So whether that's sharing our website or passing on a newsletter, if you've received it, paper or email, that would be great. And also sharing your expertise. A bit similarly to Ruth coming out, we're welcome to people who want to come out and visit us and share knowledge or experience that they think could help in some way for however many weeks. It might be that you're based here, but you've got ideas about business or finance or education or farming. And it might be that you've got some just suggestions or ideas, or you want to say, if you want to share your ideas. We know how to help that move forward. So we're really hoping that over these next 10 years, we can partner with so many more people can get involved in the project, all for the glory of God. So I've just got a couple of videos to finish before I ask if you've got any questions. These are two of our pupils just who wanted to greet you and thank you, and they knew I was coming to visit supporters. They, oh, can we do a little message? So this one is Joyce.
Okay. My name is Joyce Tabai, and the reason why I come at Arise is because there are many programs that we do here. We do even activities that help our bodies to be fit. Mm-hmm. And when we come here, we usually come on Monday and on Friday for studies. There are books that help us to study. And there are just like even many things that we do here. We have time to read the Bible, to do God's words, and then we do some activities, we study. Yeah, thank you.
So Joyce is actually the one who got the top grade in the whole of Kaniki. So she is now in grade 10. She's just got a couple of years left at school. And you can hear from her English, it's really clear. She's so confident. And yet her mum can't speak English. So she is also now trying to help her smaller, they call them brother and sister. They're not actually her brother and sister. They're other relatives that her guardian is looking after. So in the family, they just say they're brother and sister, but it's more like cousins, I suppose. So because she's been through Kapumpe, these two small ones, she's now sort of teaching them, you know, when she gets home from secondary school, you know, what homework have you got? Let me help you. And so you can just see from that, whoa, what potential is in that person? You know, she's got confidence, she's got ideas, she can speak English, which is actually the national language. So anywhere she wants to go in the country to study or to work, she would be able to if she's confident with English. And then the next one is Moses, who is also in the same class. So he's been with us all through Kapumpe.
The importance of coming at the Rise is that mostly they don't just provide like physical needs, they also provide speech needs, like reading up of the Bible. Mostly, when you come here, we get to do different activities and also know about God and learn about God. And Arise people have helped us in many different parts of life. Even when we don't have like physical needs or wants, they'll provide them. Like for example, our school fees. And thank you for the sponsors that have been sponsoring us throughout the years. Thank you very much.
So I think you can sort of see from them that they are really genuinely grateful to Arise for providing, you know, what they need to be able to study, to be able to learn. They're really happy to come, and they just enjoy, you know, being a family. Arise does feel like a family. If any of you have been out there, you know what I mean when we say it's like a family. Everyone feels like their brother, sister, auntie and uncle, all working and supporting each other, which is just wonderful. So I don't know, I want to sort of open up the floor now if there are any questions, but maybe there's something that wasn't very clear, maybe I skipped through something very quickly, or maybe there's a part of the project that we're doing and you've heard about, but you didn't see it here and you're wondering if that's still happening. So yeah, I'm not on my own. I sort of oversee the project, and I'm involved in all the elements of it. So I do teach the children, I do teach the teachers, I do teach the guardians, but we do have a head teacher and a school administrator to help with sort of secretarial jobs. And we do have three staffer to Rise who will support the guardians in the local Bemba, so it doesn't have to go through a translator, and they will sometimes do the discipleship on their own. They don't always need me there. So I'm involved with everything, but I do have a staff around me. Thank you. Well, God's definitely answering that prayer with the staff team that I've got around me. I'm not entirely, no. I've got the staff. Yeah, so the teachers are out there and the head teacher, so it's all set up for them to be able to manage. So that's, yeah, why I've been able to come back. I left things for them, and I'm communicating, you know, via phone, but they seem to be managing, so that's good.
But you are the only one who overrules the whole thing, though, aren't you?
We work together. It's very much a team effort. Yeah. Oh, background checks on the staff. So the staff that want to work with us, they will write a letter, and we ask them for references as well for who they've worked for previously. We always interview all our staff. We never employ anyone just by reading their letter, because what can happen is they can get someone else to write the letter for them, or maybe the letter's been typed. They've gone to someone in town and said, I want an application for this, and somebody in town has typed it and they don't even, you know what it says. So we get them to write something, we get them, if they're a teacher, to teach a lesson, and we do quite a thorough interview with them and then check their references as well. And then I suppose similarly for this country, we give them sort of a trial period. And if they sort of fit and they're happy, we're happy, then they can stay. But if it doesn't work, then we say, sorry, you'll need to move on. Because we also want people that have got a heart like Christ, you know, that are willing to work and serve and learn. And that's not easy to find out. So good question. Yeah. There is no subsidy from the government at all. So when we opened the school as a community school, there was supposed to be some support from the government. They are supposed to help in any way they can community schools. But the practicalities is that they don't. Communities have to find the money themselves. They put in some restrictions when they had all this new teacher recruitment and said, you know, nobody can be turned away from a school now. You have to just have everybody coming. So some schools now have 90 children in a class, and there's not enough books, there's not enough chairs. So we said we can't follow that. We can't just be open. We won't be able to give children a good education. So, you know, God made it clear to us that it was the right thing to become a private school, even though that means there would be no support from the government. We weren't getting any anyway. But it also means we've now got a lot of extra costs because we're private. The government think we're a business and we make money. So, yeah, there's no support from the government. So all the money that comes in from donations is how we manage to work. So some people donate money either to sponsor a pupil or they just send a one-off gift. Some people send us resources. So some people send us books, and that's how we're able to build up our library. So that's why we're just so in awe of how good God has been, because it's just all the resources, all the funding has come from God. Yeah. So the local language where I live is called Bemba, and some of them only speak Bemba. So if I want to communicate with them, I might have to use a little bit of Bemba, but I'm not very good. I can only speak a little bit of the language. So very often, I will have to call somebody to translate for me. So I will speak it in English, and then that person who's good at English and Bemba will translate it for me. But I've got to know a few words. So if it's a very simple conversation or they ask me something, I might be able to figure out a little bit of what they're saying. But yeah, mostly the local community speak Bemba. So that's why it's really important that we teach English at the school, because it's the national language. All their exams are in English, all the books are in English. So if they don't learn it at school, they're never going to learn it or practice it. So, good question. So, we have at the end of our room in the Arise block, we want to basically put some benches like sticking out from the wall, like a bit of a work surface, and then put some computers on that. So we could screen it off and still have a teaching room, or we could open it up and allow the pupils to sit there and work from there, or bring in Kapumpe pupils to do a lesson on teaching the computers. So it would just be sort of a computer area at one end of our teaching room. There's nothing at the moment, but hopefully there will be. Yeah, we've talked with a few people and some people are interested in helping us with that. So we really believe that that's going to be one of the sooner things rather than later. Yeah. Well, I suppose basic stationery we're using all the time. So rulers, pencils, rubbers, sharpeners, and it might sound strange to you, but I can go in the stationery shop one day and there aren't any rulers to buy, you know. And to us, that you might think, what, you know, basic thing, how can it not be in the shop? But the shops in Zambia aren't quite like what they are here. So basic stationery we get through very, very quickly. Books, I'm trying to buy books that are mostly animal-based, or that have got a range of cultures in them. Because if the books are focused on white children in a Western country, actually the whole story and context is very difficult for our children to relate to. So books mostly sort of animal-based. And then other resources and games, things that are helping them to learn English. So little dice with words on, or domino cards with words on, things that they sort of are playing with, but they're actually learning through using them at the same time. That's the kind of thing we're trying to boost our selection of. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Many problems with unwanted guests in my house, in my office, in the head's office. Snakes are the biggest problem because they are, you know, potentially deadly. Other insects I don't like the look of, I'm not so scared of. I'm happy to try and move them on or move them away, but I'm afraid, yeah, where there's snakes at school, they meet their death very quickly. So a huge thank you to all the people who have been praying about the snakes. Sometimes it's not even an adult that finds them, it's one of the children, you know, and soccer, and soccer, and soccer, and then the whole school is running. Where's the snake? Where's the snake? So we just... kill them with a stick or an axe or something. We've just come to the end of our rainy season, so all the tall grass has been growing and the snakes have been hiding. Another good reason for building that big sports cage is that actually all that grass will not be there. They won't be growing and snakes finding a home, because if it's all an all-weather pitch, there won't be anywhere for the snakes to hide. We'll hopefully see less and less snakes, but thank you to the people that have been praying, because no one's been hurt. good question. So 3/4 of the Kapumpe school are the children in Arise. So that means that somebody will be either sponsoring them. So somebody in this country would be paying maybe £15 or £25. And that enables that child to come to school, to have breakfast, have uniform, pay their teachers. Not all our children are sponsored, which is why some people just make a general donation and then they can come to the school. But if the children in the local community, if they want to come to the school, we've basically left 25% of every class. So that's about 10 children in each class could come from the local community. Because they look at Kapumpe and they're like, this is the best school around, you know. We want our children to come here. And some of these are the immigration officers or the doctors at the health point. So, you know, we want to also have good relations with them. So we sort of say, well, if you are willing to self-sponsor, if you will sponsor your child, yes, we can give them a space, but we can't have them in the project because they're not an orphan in need. So some of the children, their parents pay in Zambia for them. Really good question, yeah. So I think that's about it with our questions. So, Twato Telesana, it just means thank you very much. That's how we say it in Chibemba. And especially a thank you to Stanley Park, who have hosted this today, because I know not everybody is from Stanley Park. We do have some refreshments in the hall next door, and also at the back there is some tables with more information about the project, more crafts that the children have made, and feel free to take one if you want to just have a little memorabilia of, you know, what the project is, or you might want to pass one on to someone. And there's the mats here as well, and of course come and ask me more questions, or ask Ruth, or ask Ellie, or ask my parents. Yep, there's some photo albums out there. There's booklets with all the past newsletters if you've only recently heard of the project and you want to just flick through what's been going on. So feel free to stay, chat, and look afterwards. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.